Good den, weary space traveller. It is I, Space John, your space games master of Esposito, the Esper Genesis podcast. Come in, pull up a space seat by the space fire, grab yourself a flask of space mead, and space sit as I space tell you my space story. It's not mine, it's shared. It's a shared storytelling experience. This space story of space idiots doing idiot things in space. Have you noticed that there's no bards in Espergenesis? I've noticed that. Which is, it upsets me because I never get to play bards. I played a bard once for two sessions, and then Tom Kirk, the guy that plays Dumas, killed him brutally. It was a vicious, vicious murder that came after I'd made some terrible choices. But it was still, he still did it. You may have just heard a computer noise there. That was because I'm working whilst I record this, and I have a meeting now. So I'm going to leave this introduction here and enjoy the show. Enjoy the podcast experience that you're about to interact. I have no idea what's going on with the words today. Fire them all.
Latin or Greek?
Ad hominem.
I'm going to go with Greek.
To me, it sounds Greek.
Philia's Greek, so I don't know if you'd add this, Philia. It was. Why haven't I just brushed up on my ancient Greek here?
The two languages are fairly similar, so it's probably not going to be too far from Deus for God.
Deus Sexus?
That's good.
Oh, yeah, Deus Sex. God, that was right there, wasn't it? Oh man, that was right there. That was so ripe, and I missed it.
We're all very disappointed.
Yeah, I'm fucking ashamed. Deus Ex is just like.
Do you think the developers just have a little laugh about that?
They definitely thought about it.
Greek, it's Theos. So.
Deus Ex Machina Machine. Is it Machine Machina?
Yeah, God in the machine.
God sex machine. All right.
Like a sex machine, God. Doing it. Okay, no James Brown fans in the audience, I guess.
I find it bizarre. There doesn't seem to be a word for it, despite the fact that most of Greek mythology involves someone banging or being banged by a god.
Aaron, wasn't anything to do with James Brown. It was more to do with the fact that you're friends with nerds who are all rapidly Googling this shit.
Thinking about it, it probably is Theos because that's where theology comes from.
Theosphilia.
Theophilia.
Theophilia.
Well, that depends if you believe in plural or singular gods, doesn't it?
An imaginary act of having sex with a divine being, but this is Urban Dictionary. So I'm not sure this stands up.
Theism is the belief in God in general. Monotheism is the belief in one God. Polytheism is the belief in a pantheon.
Yeah, I was playing modern English rules of pluralism to ancient Greece.
And that was your first mistake, John.
It clearly doesn't translate. I mean, it will translate, but not the way I expect it to.
Schoolboy error.
I don't know what level of nerddom this is. I'm not quite sure.
Next level.
This is like verging into like the highbrow virgin Tolkien bullshit.
But we're doing Tolkien. Trying to figure out how to say fuck God or sex with God.
Yeah.
I feel like theophilia is the closest we're going to get.
Answers on a postcard, listeners.
What about we'll do a poll on Twitter?
I am unsure as to whether or not this should go in at any point. Like, I'm not
I think we missed all of the context that makes any of this make sense.
All right, guys, well, for context, I was saying to the guys that if God does exist, I'm going to kick the shit out of him. And these guys then misheard and were like, you're going to fuck him. And I was like, well, I mean, in for a penny. And then we just started discussing.
There was a joke about popes in there as well.
What about the phrase?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Popes are sluts for God. Yeah, we shouldn't keep this in.
I'm definitely keeping the line Popes are sluts for God.
That's the title of the episode.
Yeah.
What phrase are you postulating, Mike?
What about godomy?
Godomy.
Yes, we have a winner.
Yeah. I'm surprised you sat on that for so long, giggity.
I'm surprised anyone did. Whoa.
Considering how good that was, you were very restrained. You were waiting patiently for your turn.
I was quite tense.
Godomy. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Theosex, godomy, and theophilia. Theophilia doesn't sound as fun.
No, it sounds pretty lame now.
Yeah.
You try all of them. It's fine. It's heaven, for God's sake. If that's where you end up.
Highly doubtful.
It's not where you're ending up.
Nope. No.
All right, well, that was a good half hour of... I don't know. Like, we ranged from medical science through to etymology, through to popes having a stiffy for God. So,
I mean, look at those hats, man. They're hiding something.
Their love of God. Was it in the hat the whole time?
It's just their massive fucking moral boners for God.
Wait, are you saying that they're all literally dickheads?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right. Yeah, I can see that. It's the right shape.
What?
I feel we peaked at godomy.
Please go to the doctor. Please go to the doctor.
Right. I guess we should start playing Smith.
Oh, I'm absolutely not ready for that. I need another beer. I didn't realise that's where we were.
Well, I was just saying, BrewDog have got a plum porter coming out soon.
That would be interesting for BrewDog, not what they usually do.
It's called Zombie Cake, which is a disgusting name. I really, like, it's one of the names that I can't really get past. But yeah, plum porter. Not available yet, unfortunately.
What they should have called it is Plum Potter.
Oh, God, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so much better than zombie cake. The zombie cake is, it makes me feel a little bit nauseous to say it.
Yeah, it's like a little, a fat little otter on the cover, and it's called Plum Potter.
Oh, God, that's great. Someone's got to make that beer. Listeners, if you make beer, make Plump Otter, and we will accept a case. We'll advertise it. No problem. We would love some of your Plum Potter.
That's going to be memed out of context. Give me some of your Plum Potter. Go on. Go on, love. Give me some Plum Potter. You know I want it. Get Sean Bean to advertise your Plum Potter beer. Whatever fated listener is going to do that shit, do it. I'm Sean Bean. Here's some Plum Potter, you bastard. Get shot by an otter holding a handgun.
Yes, he would have to die in the advert. Okay. So, anyone wants to make Plum Potter, do it. Send us the beer that you have made and called Plum Potter.
Yep.
And
if you use our advert idea, then give us royalties.
Give us royalties either way. We've given them the idea.
We are incredibly litigious. We will sue.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, we probably will find out about it. We buy a lot of beer. But, I mean, I guess really, like, the point is, we'll advertise for you far and wide. We've got at least 5 listeners in 10 countries, so...
At least.
Bare minimum.
Some of the less conservative estimates put us at 10.
Wait, 5 listeners spread across 10 countries? How does that work?
Well, they move around.
So there was an incident with several landmines, and
whilst they were listening,
one of their livers was removed and then placed in somebody else.
That counts. I count that. Like, if someone gets an organ and the person that donated it listened to the podcast, that's 2 people have listened.
And one of our listeners.
I suppose my first question should be why, but it is actually how.
What do you mean how?
How do you count that?
Part of them has listened to the podcast.
I realised, like, conceptually how you do it, but how physically do you measure that? Have you captured that data, sir?
I think we just have to assume that 1 in 10 of our listeners is an organ donor.
Do we?
I don't know. How many people in the population are... I guess that's a better way of doing it, is how many people in the population are organ donors? And then that, like say, per 1,000, and then that many per 1,000 of our listeners are organ donors. We don't have 1,000.
At this point, listeners, we're going to take a very rare aside to offer you some legitimate advice. And if you're not registered as an organ donor, please do it now.
You should.
Everyone needs your organs. I need your organs. Give me your organs.
All right, let's play Esposito now.
I suppose.
So in last session, you navigated your way back through the rift. You tried to drag a scuttled Zamoran hive ship back with you, but you got very close to doing so. And the one thing that you can be certain of is that they are not getting home. They are sort of stuck adrift in the rift. Adrift in the rift. I like it. You came back and you rejoined the Infinity Corps fleet. You noticed that the two opposing fleets had grown somewhat. So the Infinity Corps were joined by the Eldori, and the Promethean Bounder and Matakai were joined by the Kesh, and subspace was flooded so that you could not communicate with anyone. You boarded the Sao Paulo, the capital ship of the Infinity Corps. Korchev wasn't available to speak with you. Instead, you spoke to Doc, Hud's old colleague, which was an intense conversation. I mean, I'm trying to remember exactly how it escalated so quickly, and I'm not entirely sure.
He reneged on his promise to help out the dwarves.
Yeah.
Which is how it starts.
He was insisting that whilst the support was still there, it wasn't there yet. They needed to resolve the current situation.
Well, that's not support. Why am I arguing with you?
Yeah, no, I'm that was his point.
No. I get that. You're not him at all times.
Thank you.
It took me a second.
So you ended up beating him senseless, and then you recorded a message on the sim that you broadcast that explained that you were essentially diplomats from the dwarves, and if you were fired upon by the Infinity Corps, then it would be an act of war. You made your way back to the Golden Rose, and you headed for the Promethean fleet. The Infinity Corps fired a few shots at you that didn't manage to hit, and then you were met by two or three Matakai fighters that began escorting you. They were flanking you. Theirs was a bit more of a hostile escort, but they've escorted you now towards one of the larger Promethean ships. Again, you can't communicate with anyone, but they are taking you towards a large open hangar bay. I'm assuming you're not veering off or trying to fight anyone.
I mean, that second one's a big assumption on our part.
They were kind of less hostile for us because we enslaved our autopilot to them.
That's it, yeah. So you are directed towards the threshold, and as you cross over it, there's a bright flash of light that indicates that the hangar bay has an atmosphere being maintained by an energy field of some sort. As you enter the ship, all of the systems on the Golden Rose shut down, and you feel a slight shudder as the controls of the ship have shifted from, and this, Hud, this is something you'll have experienced before, controls of the ship have shifted from the fighters that were escorting you to the internal flight control in the ship. So as you're guided in, fairly slowly looking out, you can see that the hangar bay is wide and it's several stories high. There are rows and rows of small 1 and 2 man fighters. There's a couple of troop transports and there's a fleet of small bombers in there as well. There's also several anti-craft gun placements within the hangar, which are mostly trained on the Golden Rose at the minute. You can see there's quite a few mechs carrying out maintenance and repair work on various ships throughout the bay, reloading ordnance into some of the fighters. And you can also see at the far end of the hangar that it seems to be being used as a training ground, and you see a mixed group of Promethean, Valner, and Matakai and Kesh soldiers running through some drills together.
Dora waves through the window.
You're too far away. No one sees that.
No one's close enough?
No, no one's close enough.
She keeps going.
All right.
Dora, stop waving. You look like an idiot.
Oh, we're meeting new people. Let's be nice this time around. I don't want you punching any.
We're not taking the lead on this because the Eldori and the humans are hostile to these guys, remember?
So they're on our side, right? Or...
We're not on anyone's side at the moment. We're hopefully going to get on these guys' side. But I think Dumas and Rebook better take the lead, at least at first.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. I remember this now. Good. Do you want a drink? Maybe we just pretend we're drunk. And when I say pretend...
I don't drink.
How do I just find this out now? What? I never knew this.
I've said it to you several times.
Ah. Yeah, well...
Why do you think I'm sober around you every time you drink? I mean, most people are. You drink all the time. But when we did that toast, I gave my shot to you and I had a cigarette.
Oh, bloody hell. You're one of those. You make me physically sick.
Feelings mutual, Dora, and Hud just lights up a cigarette.
I think that might be the alcohol poisoning, Dora.
Rebook, you enjoy a drink. At least I've got you, friend.
Yes, but maybe not on another diplomatic mission.
Oh. Not you too. Dumas, please.
Aye.
Want a bit of tequila? Just to steady your nerves.
You know I drink, but I'm not entirely sure this is the right time.
That's me then, as always.
Not as always. Quit with the pity party.
That's fine, you're all teetotal now, in my eyes, and that's how it shall remain until I have another memory loss because of my drink. She sits back in the chair, does a bit of a sicky burp, and falls asleep.
And there's the memory loss.
An inspiration to us all, as usual.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Our fearless captain.
Hood, can you keep him on the ship? Me and Rebook will go and say hello.
I think it might be best if we all step out of the ship. Last thing we want is a thing being boarded. Because they're going to search the ship anyway. It's just protocol.
Probably true.
He gets hold of any weapons.
Yeah. Speaking of weapons, should we leave things here or is it show good faith or go out armed?
Store our weapons, I reckon. Just keep them at our sides.
Cool. I'll grab Dora's stuff and I'm going to go over to asleep or comatose Dora and start disarming her.
Well, mutiny. Space.
Okay. Yeah. We'll space them all, Dora. Space them all.
Would you like a drink now? What? Who?
Oh. No. You keep it. There you go. I quietly like unload her like pistol and things like that.
I'm gonna sequester my what are they called? Thingy blades. Oh my arm forearms. I'm gonna sort of sequester them up my sleeves.
Is there an armory on the ship?
If you're using any space as an armory, it'll be on the top deck.
I take all the stuff up to top deck. Rebook, do you want to come with?
Rebook's going to make a diversion and just put his stuff in his vents.
Of course he is.
Yeah, I'm going to drop off the stuff that Dumas has given me and Dora's stuff in one of the lockers up on the top deck. And then I'm going to stow all of my weapons in my cabin.
Cool. So, Hud, you've disarmed yourself. You've also disarmed Dora. Rebook, you've disarmed yourself. And Dumas, you have mostly disarmed yourself.
Yeah, but I've got my forearm blades that I'll try and hide away.
I don't know if Hood has also taken my forearm blades while I've been passed out, whether he's checked for them or not. But they are usually hidden.
I would have done a full pat down.
Full ocular pat down.
Yeah.
Move along, jabroni.
I don't know how good Dora is. The only reason I'm doing this is because my sleight of hand is really good.
Yeah, mine's not very good. But that being said, she'd probably keep him on if she could. But she's unconscious, so.
I love that you're unconscious just because you chose that your character was.
I mean, I can do an investigation check and see if I found them.
Do an investigation check. This is like retroactive from when you were putting them on, but do a sleight of hand.
Oh, I only got a 4 on my investigation.
16.
Beyond the weapons that are obviously strapped to Dora, you don't find anything else. So the forearm blades are still there.
Cool.
Rebook's also going to leave his drone on the ship.
Okay.
In the CEO's... XO's quarters?
XO.
XO quarters. But just so it looks fairly benign.
Okay. Whilst you guys are doing this, the ship is guided down and you hear the landing gear lower and the ship touches down on the hangar deck. The comm systems throughout the ship crackle to life and you hear a slightly bored-sounding voice buzz through. And it says... Crew of the Golden Rose, please disarm and disembark. You will not be treated with hostility unless you display hostility. If you refuse to comply with the order to disarm and disembark, you'll be free to leave, but will not be under the protection of the Conclave. Over.
I'm going to tap onto the comms. Received and understood. Can I get a call sign, please?
Craig.
Do you want to be... I don't know. Golden Rose 1?
No, I mean, I was asking you for yours, you know, observing proper communications protocol.
You want to know who I am?
It'd be nice.
The hangar officer of this Promethean vessel.
Okay, cool. Boring conversation anyway, and I shoot the comms. No, I don't. I just turn it off.
you can't shoot it. You're disarmed.
Yeah.
Because your weapon of choice is a shotgun.
Yeah, just destroy the ship.
I'm done here.
We ain't leaving.
Thank God he doesn't have a grenade launcher.
Can I?
Yet.
Rather than just, can I hide? Actually, it's quite big. How good is the weapons locker on the Rose? How secure is it?
We were just discussing this. There's not specifically a weapons locker. There's a couple of cargo holds, and
well, I'm sure that breaches some kind of regulation, but...
On a pirate ship.
It is a pirate ship.
There must be some smuggling compartments on here.
You'd have to ask Dora, probably.
I think I'd definitely want to hide my rifle away rather than just leaving it like on the side.
There are like cases and crates that you can lock in the cargo bay on the top deck.
Yeah, I locked all of Dora's stuff in one.
There's also a couple of empty sleeping quarters that you could use. I mean, you could follow Rebook's suit and tuck it into the vents.
Yeah, maybe tuck it into the vent in my room.
Look at you guys, doing the same things. Once you were enemies, now you both hide your shit in vents.
And then I'll lock the door.
Cool.
I've still got the communication disc thing on me, haven't I? In my belt pouch. Cool.
Yeah,
in that case, yeah, I'm going to check my belt pouch for the communication disc, check it for my cigarettes and my lighter, and then breathe a little sigh of relief, and then lock the cabin door.
Cool.
So I'm just getting rid of, essentially, my rifle. I've still got the rest of my inventory.
Apart from the forearm blades, that's your only weapon?
Yeah.
Yeah, then that's fine. You can hold on.
I don't want to rule out the idea of MacGyvering some shit later.
No. Thank you for clarifying that. You have all of your inventory minus your rifle.
Like, you know, I can still like swing my medal around my head and crack someone with it or something. You know, and I want to leave that open.
Yeah, and I appreciate you thinking ahead like that. It was a constant irritation for me that Jefferson didn't have his fancy outfit, because he left it in his quarters and didn't think to go back for it.
Wow.
John, do I need to do anything specific with this flamethrower attachment that's on my armor?
I mean, you could detach the forearm section of your armor. Your armor wouldn't be complete, but I don't want to make you take all of your armor off.
I also have that on my rig.
Rigs are a different thing. You can't really remove a rig.
All right, cool. So yeah, I'll retroactively take my flamethrower attachment off and leave that in my cabin as well.
No.
I keep forgetting I've got that.
Well, you need to use it at some point. It's a flamethrower.
I know. I need to get a jetpack first and really fucking lay it on thick.
Really, what I need to present to you as an opportunity is a lot of large red barrels.
Oh, buddy. Like, can you imagine me with a grenade launcher, a jetpack, and a flamethrower? Like, the entire galaxy would burn.
The end times have come.
Yeah. Turns out, you guys were the big bad all along.
I would not be surprised in any campaign we've ever played.
That would be good, wouldn't it? Maybe I'll retroact.
So easily done.
Yeah.
Damron were a peaceful race wanting to engage in trade relations with a species that had no way of communicating with them.
I was going to say the Zamorun were actually trying to reclaim their space. They lived here only 10 centuries ago.
The whole galaxy is built on an ancient Zamorun burial ground.
And we carved our president's faces into it.
Joke's on you, I'm a communist. I don't have any presidents. Just gulags and mass starvation.
No system of government works. All right, so yeah, so... you guys all disarm yourselves and Dora, and then step off the ship. Is Dora stepping off the ship? Or are you like dragging her off the ship? Or are you just leaving her away?
I'll sort of like hoist Dora proper up.
She's quite small from recollection.
You've strapping young man. Who's this? Oh. Just slap his ass.
Do not even start with me. I am this close, Dora. This fucking close.
Oh, are you now? Oh, well, that's what I like to hear.
Oh, I hate you. God, I hate you. Every fibre in my fucking being.
So you guys step off the Golden Rose and you're greeted by a small contingent of guards, headed by a Promethean woman with close-cropped hair. She's got this huge scar across her forehead. She takes a moment to take you all in. Her eyes rest slightly longer on Dumas. And then again, they linger a little bit on the barely conscious form of Dora. Had you noticed that the soldiers at the far end have stopped their drills? They sort of seem to be relaxing a little bit, but a few of them seem to be observing what's going on here with mild interest.
I just, as jovial as I can, give Dora a little shake and say, she had a little bit of fun before we got here, you know. High spirits and all that.
Oh, Daddy, I didn't do it. I swear, it wasn't me, Daddy. Stop. No, Daddy.
Yep, just reliving some repressed trauma. Fun.
Welcome aboard the Promethean flagship, Daedalus. You are to explain your presence here before we proceed any further. If that's possible. Just one of you can do it, that's fine.
I sort of look around everybody and just go, it's kind of a long story.
If you could give me the succinct version, the short version, then you can share the longer version with my commander, if that would please you.
Sure. I guess short version is we encountered the Zamron on our colleague, and I jerked my head towards Dumas, on his home planet. They invaded and almost wiped out his people. We managed to help a bunch of them escape. We came here as diplomatic envoys to seek support for them and retake the planet. We met up with the Infinity Corps, ended up visiting the Zamron homeworld, killed the Queen. Everyone's now in disarray. Came back, got betrayed by the Infinity Corps. Apparently they may be under something without that someone was pulling the Zamron strings that may or may not be this squid thing called the Sovereign. I knocked out the acting general of the Infinity Corps, who was also one of my old squad mates. And that pretty much brings us up to now.
Very succinct, Hud.
I try my best. Thank you, Rigwig.
And you can see she blinks a little bit, trying to process a lot of information. And says, your friend here is... She's pointing at Dumas. Is...
I mean, you can't just point at people and ask what race they are. That's messed up, dude.
I'm sorry, I'm a soldier. I'm not so much into diplomatic relations. It's just that I've never seen someone that looks like you before. And I was wondering, you mentioned your home world. I'm sorry, I'm very...
At that point, Hud sort of just turns to Dima and says, you know what, I've never actually asked what the name of your species is. Kind of thought it was rude at the time.
Well, I don't know if there's a word for it in your language, but we call ourselves Durgar.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much. Delightful.
I wasn't talking to you. I'm talking to my friend here.
I'll be nice. She's trying her best.
I know, but it's so awkward. It's fun to make a square a bit, isn't it?
I know. Remember, you know, you're an ambassador, diplomacy and stuff. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I haven't hit her.
I'm very proud of you. Ed.
She glances at one of the other soldiers that's near her. Like, I will... thank you for the succinct version of your story. I will report back to my superior officer. Given what you've said regarding the Infinity Corps and that you've spoken with some of the higher-ups over there, he would be interested in speaking with you, I'm sure. This is a military vessel at time of war, so we're going to contain you within the hangar bay, if that's all right. And by the way, when I say if that's all right, I mean we are going to contain you in the hangar bay, whether or not you agree with it. not in a hostile way. It's just, it's for security reasons. You were recently over with the Infinity Corps. You yourself, sir, I can see are a human. Madam, are I beg your pardon.
I said well spotted.
Yes, thank you. You know, keen combat senses. Train me to recognise friend and foe. You don't seem particularly aggressive. However, we're unsure of your affiliations. Despite your story, we would need to ver- I'm whittling. I'm going on.
Yeah. To be fair, we're pretty unsure as to our affiliations at this point, anyway. But yeah, that's cool. What was your name again?
Colonel Selenkis Zavell.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't catch any of your names apart from Dumas here. Would you care to share them?
I mean, do you want me to introduce you guys, or are you guys going to introduce yourselves? Or? I mean, I kind of got to introduce this one. I sort of shake Dora.
Eldora, Eltari, Outlaw, Captain of the Golden Roads, famous for her intrepid discovery of many delights. Would you like a drink? She kind of opens her eyes.
No, thank you. I'm on duty. What did you say your clan name was again?
My what, sorry?
Your clan name.
My clan name. I don't think I did. Did I? Did I say that? Just look at them. Where am I, by the way?
You're in the hangar, Dora. Are you coming too? Are you with
the
us?
The hangar of what? Where? What?
That's actually a very good question. Yeah, Selenki, what's the name of this ship again?
Oh, it's the Daedalus.
In the hangar of the Daedalus, Dora. I hope that means something to you.
Have I heard about the Daedalus before? It's like the flagship of Promethean army or whatever.
I mean, you wouldn't specifically have heard about it.
Is it like a dreadnought of some kind? Is it quite?
I mean, you can tell from the hangar bay that it's a large ship.
Or a medium-sized ship with a very big hangar.
Could be that.
I bet it dreads many things. I bet it just lives its life in existential terror.
And now it dreads us. I didn't mean that last bit.
I dread some.
Did you say your surname, though? I'm sure I picked something up.
Oh, Dora the Explorer. I think you heard Explorer. People call me Dora the Explorer.
No one.
Usually.
Dora, we've been with you for quite some time now, and I've never heard a single person refer to you that in what way, apart from yourself.
I mean, Dora the Booze Hound, sure. Hey, you over there, get out of those bushes.
Well, I usually have like a red backpack with me, but I lost it some years ago. So maybe the name is gone now. But that's fine, Dora the Booze Hound. It suits me fine.
So we've got Dora, the Booze Hound.
Thank you.
We've got Dumas and the other two.
If you're looking to introduce us to your superiors, then it may well be fit to include our ranks as well, may I add.
Well, that's if you could provide them.
Right, so that's Rear Admiral Dumas. I don't think I have a rank now. I think I'm technically Fugitive HUD. This is Captain Dora, as you've heard. And this is, are you an Ensign or an Exo Rebook or Navigator? Or
I guess Exo.
And this is Exo Rebook.
Right, so you've got a lot of high-ranking people and one person that doesn't have a high rank.
What can I say?
Well, I think you technically still got your rank until you tried.
Kind of an open and shut case when you beat the Assistant General of the Army with a metal pole.
Not if they don't catch you.
Well, in that case, my rank doesn't matter anyway. So, just Mr. Hud, Esquire.
They call him Mr. Hud.
What about pilot? I think that would be a pretty good title for you, Hud. You're a damn good pilot, and I slap him on the back, not on the arse.
Well, you're getting higher. That's something, at least.
Just when I say duck, you'll know what's coming.
I'll say where?
I'll leave you to it.
Sorry, I love how dysfunctional this conversation's been just in front of this Reba Muse fucking girl.
I'll leave you to it. You are welcome to return to your ship. You're not really welcome to wander the hangar bay, and We shall return short. I'll pass this information on to my superior.
Ooh, wander the hangar bay. Pray tell, what amenities await us in this vast and glorious hangar bay?
No, as I said, you're not welcome to wander the hangar bay. So,
Be nice. She's trying. She's literally been the nicest diplomat we've met so far. Come on.
I know. I don't like being confined, you know.
No one likes being confined. Wait back on the ship. We've got all the bacon you could ask for. I'm going to sit out here, have a smoke, you know. See what I can see.
I would like to point out, I'm not technically a diplomat. I'm a colonel.
Oh, that explains it.
Oh, well.
Can I point out that I'd be very unlikely if you're allowed to smoke on a hangar deck?
Yeah, you'd be surprised what I can get away with.
We've got plenty of air scrubbers in here. The smoke won't last long.
Oh, it's more the fire risk. I have no idea what kind of ship you're running here, but I guess we'll... That.
Sorium core wouldn't be particularly flammable.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are they running ships on fucking Dent? Like, was it not Dendasar?
Ondas.
What's your
two stroke?
An ender. Like, fucking kerosene.
Two stroke. That's wonders.
That's all I need. Some facts.
pure facts.
Some are two stroke, some are red diesel.
I shall return. And she leaves. The guard that was with her, they sort of disperse a little bit. They're hanging about, keeping an eye on you, but they're not doing much beyond keeping an eye on you.
Cool. Could I use the feature that I've got called Knowing the Craft? I know my way around a ship, and I'm part of a select crew that can speak technical jargon that may well be another language. Find it easy to figure out the type and purpose of most vehicles. You can often find safe and affordable passage for you and your group to other planets and systems. You're also welcome at most spaceports when docking your own ship. So I assume that would kind of extend to kind of just chatting and shooting the ship with sort of other pilots and stuff within the bay, like maybe kind of getting away with slightly more than would normally be possible.
There is still a guard keeping an eye on you. You've been told not to wander the hangar bay.
I guess I was thinking of it kind of taking the form of I'm sort of sat outside the ship, leaning up against it, having a smoke, and then maybe trying to catch attention of the guards and just try and engage them in conversation, maybe.
Yeah, all right.
Like, start by talking about kind of the different ships that are around and getting them in with the sort of the technical jargon there, and then using that as a road in.
Yeah, after a while, you manage to catch attention of one of the pilots who's just finished inspecting one of the fighters and his fireman down, still in flight. So you catch his eye because he's looking at the Golden Rose, and he wanders over and says, well, that is a beat-up piece of shit right there, isn't it?
Handles like a dream.
I don't believe it.
You are a wise man. Hell of a machine you got over there, though.
Oh, the fighter, yeah. It's a fast ship there. Packs a punch, too.
What's the turning circle on the thing? Looks like it could do a three-pointer on a sixpence there.
That doesn't mean anything to me. What's a sixpence?
Sorry, it's a Terran thing. It looks like it's maneuverable.
Oh, the thing is agile, no doubt.
Right, so you've been operating in this area of space long?
Oh, the Daedalus has been here for, I don't know, say, 10 months? Standing off against the old Infinity Corps fleet over there, but things have really escalated in the last couple of weeks.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of it so much myself. It's just, you know, our fleet's grown a little bit, their fleet's grown a little bit. They've dragged the Crucible inside nearer to the star. The subspace is flooded. No one can talk to anyone out there. We're down to flashing lights.
Okay. So what, are you using sort of the old commando semaphore, or are you like doing like some newfangled system?
You can see he steps a little bit back at that question.
It's all right. I'm not digging. This is just professional interest. I'm not welcome with the Infinity Corps anymore.
I'd rather not give that information.
Understandable. You see much contact with the Zamaron then?
Oh, Zamaron? No, we missed that whole show. No. None of that, unfortunately. A little bit of actual action would have been delightful, but no, this is just mirroring the Infinity Corps fighter wings. Nothing really happened. It's sort of a snooze fest out here, to be honest.
No, you missed out. They're pretty tasty in the air, but I hear the Dendu are mopping them up now.
That is what I've heard as well. What about you? You guys have taken a few hits, I can see, by your hulk here.
Tis but a scratch. But yeah, we wandered over to the Zamaron homeworld. threw a couple of grenades in the room, killed the queen, you know.
No.
Yeah. Mostly by accident, to be honest with you, but we were just trying to see what we could see. Lost some good people along the way. So, but you know, I don't need to tell you how it is.
Yeah, it happens.
I mean, you can imagine the surprise we had when we came back to Cold War 3.0 boiling up.
Oh, yes. And between you and me, I don't imagine it to stay cold for too long. They're ignoring all requests from the Conclave to exit the system. If anything, they're building up resources, and so we're matching. You've seen the cash have arrived recently, so the whole place is a tinderbox. It's ready to go off at a moment's notice.
Hmm. Well, let's not be the spark that lights the fuse, eh? Well, good talking to you. Bye, boy.
You too. Take care of yourself, and take care of this ship here.
I'll do what I can. You be safe out there.
And you. You're not bad for a human.
You're not bad for a...
He's a Promethean.
For a Promethean.
Look at us. You know, a couple of folks like us get together, we could probably bash out a peace treaty in no time. But where's the fun in that?
As long as I don't mind it being written in crayon, eh?
Ha! I like you. I'll see you later.
See you later.
And he just turns and strides away.
Was his name Flash by any chance?
I cannot confirm nor deny the Promethean pilot. No, it was Flash Hart, but
John, are the comms back up, or at least our individual comms? Are we able to make an outbound call?
No, it seems like you could send a message, say to HUD, but in terms of getting a message off ship, not really. No.
Okay, cool. Never mind.
Is anyone else doing anything?
Waiting patiently.
Yeah.
I relay my conversation to the guys after the pilot wanders off. Head back on the ship.
Sounds like a douche. Just taking the piss out of my ship. Best ship in the universe. Have you know. Fastest ship.
Do you slap it as you say this and then something falls off in the background?
Hey, I give it a nice little elbow. This ship can withstand fucking anything.
Yeah, you hear a clunk as something hits the hangar bay floor.
3 points of structural damage. Just collapses.
Campaign ends there.
Yeah, the ship just explodes at that point.
It's good. It's healthy sound. It means it's breathing.
I'm really not looking forward to this next bit. Right, so... After a short amount of time, I'm imagining you're still going to be hanging around outside the ship.
Yeah.
So after a short amount of time, you see one of the lift doors opens and a fairly bulky looking guy, shaved head, big bushy beard. His jacket is undone, just sort of flapping freely. You can see a kind of stained white vest underneath it. Just comes striding towards you. He looks, frowns, clicks at one of the guards nearby and points. And the guard just dashes off quickly and comes back with a metal chair for him to sit on. And he puts the chair down and he sits down and says,
Sorry?
What are you sorry for?
I misheard you. I guess a correct word could have been pardon.
I said, I'm doing a terrible job of the voice. All right.
Oh, all right. I'll do.
Whisper to Hood, and this is what you'll sound like if you keep smoking.
Like, the old-fashioned look, just lights up another cigarette and he goes, all right, Mum.
My name is Pax. I'm in charge of the Conclave fleet here. The Colonel has called me up on your story. So, I have some questions for you. You saw Korchev?
We saw Korchev. Actually, no, wait, we didn't see Korchev, did we?
Well, we saw him the first time round, but...
We have seen Korchev.
Yeah, when we got back from the Zamron homeworld, apparently he was indisposed. We were talking to his second in command, and that's when things went sour.
How long's it been? When did we see Kyorchev?
At least a few days, but I'm not sure if the rift had a time distortion effect, because there damn sure weren't as many ships in the system when we left, and I would imagine it takes time to move a crucible. So we couldn't be sure. We visited the homeworld through one of the Zamron rifts, so we couldn't say how long it's been.
But when you saw him, how do you see?
It's hard to tell. We'd never met him before. He seemed reasonable. He wanted to help. Seemed like he was under a lot of pressure with everything that was going on. Pretty understandable.
Sounds like better than that lackey of his.
Yeah, true. Look, I have some additional information. Basically, I've got reason to believe that the general might be in some trouble.
He stiffens and scowls a little bit at that.
I very slowly reach into my belt pouch and pull out the disc and say, an older squaddy of mine, he passed me this when we were on the ship. Didn't want anyone else to know that he'd sent it to me. Apparently, the core's been compromised, according to him. And that lines up with some information that we managed to find out on the Zamron homeworld. Turns out their strings are being pulled by something called the Sovereign. We captured one of their computer systems, and we've got some pictorial evidence of some sort of organism that we haven't encountered before. Suffice it to say that it's not looking good, and from what we know about encounters with the Zamron, we know that they can control people. At least we thought that it was the Zamron. It might be something else, one of these things. We've got some pieces of the puzzle, but we're just trying to put them together at this point. And I pass the disc over to him.
And he takes it and he looks at it. And he says, so you're saying Kyorchev is being controlled? That makes sense.
We don't know.
It's a working theory.
He certainly seems to be in trouble.
I just ask, you seem very interested in Kyorchev. Have you met before? My name's Dora, by the way.
He's an old friend. We got into some fun a while back. I was actually working with him for quite a while. And then I was pulled in to the Conclave. He stayed with the Infinity Corps. We were still talking, but he became a little more aggressive recently.
Sounds like you didn't like that he got aggressive.
Well, it was fun that he was aggressive, but it wasn't him.
Well, we're very concerned about him as well, I think. So I think there is a bit of an alignment between what you care about and what we care about.
And of course, if the core is having the strings pulled, then cutting those strings could resolve the current situation, I guess. We should look into that, maybe. Shine a bright light in there.
Absolutely. So what you're saying is that you would like to team up with us or something? We had a very, very big guy on the ship before. He was really tough, but obviously not quite as tough as you. So there is a spot open.
No, I'm neither here. That sounds like fun, though.
We get into lots of pickles and fights, and we nearly die, and there's lots of bloodshed and stuff. I don't know if that's your thing or not.
Oh yeah, we killed the Zamron Queen, if that's any help.
He's struggling to hold back a grin, and then he looks around and face goes a little bit sad and sheepish, and he says, no, I can't do that, no. Sounds fun, though.
And I lean in a little bit and give him a sly little grin. Are you absolutely 100% sure?
Your breath is terrible.
True. And you smell of grease.
Kiss.
Shut that.
Kiss.
All right. Well, I'll need to talk to the colonel about what we're allowed to do security-wise to let you guys talk to people, find out. I don't know. But sounds like you've got some useful information. Could be good, useful.
Cool. I'm going to want that disc back, by the way.
No.
I mean, once you've had a chance to review it, maybe make a copy.
Sure.
Are you okay?
Yeah. It's just, you know, an old friend is good and bad. Good and bad.
John, me and Dora are able to do like a lore check to work out who Pax is in relation to like everything that went on.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, it's kind of a big deal, the whole...
Yeah, it was definitely, it was big news for a couple of weeks. It's still sort of a footnote in history lessons.
Yeah, natural 20! Get in!
Banged it.
You know that this guy was one of the Epsilon Shift. He was one of several that was framed for destroying an Infinity Corps ship and then saved the galaxy from Lorendi threat. And you know that Korchev was... Like, remembering that, you remember Korchev was part of that as well, although in a slightly more restricted manner because of his affiliation with the Infinity Corps.
So, yeah, I kind of remember this, and I'm like, wait, are you that Pax from the Epsilon Shift?
Oh, bloody hell, yeah, I saw that on the TV in the prison. Wow!
Christ, I remember watching that when I was a kid.
Was this some kind of television show?
No, there was a whole... incident about what was it when I turned to Dora, was it 50 years back, like
50 years or something like that? I was still about 100 or something. Oh, sorry,
was it for kids?
You guys stopped the galaxy. No, they stopped the galaxy going into kind of a well, losing a major intergalactic war with the Lorendi. No, they stopped it. That's why they were a big deal. And
sounds like a very exciting show.
Guys, it wasn't a TV show. This was history. This is, I mean, do you still speak to any of them? Any of the others, like Jefferson and
One or two of them I speak to. Well, no one, not Jefferson, prick. One of the others, yeah. Other two are long dead.
Sorry to hear that. I guess. Feel free to take a copy of that disc and just run that back to us when you. You're done with it.
Sure.
Let us know when we got the run of the ship and stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't you have like two swords or something? I remember hearing this, and they were like engraved with your family's names, something like that. Yes, that was it. You were on a revenge trip. How did that go?
Me and Korchev killed a lot of people. Most of those. You've had all of those responsible, and then a few more. The swords are now part of the gravestones for my wife and daughter.
Beautiful.
I think we're going to have a movie marathon reboot, because this sounds juicy.
It's six scenes in the movie, right?
Guys! Not a TV show. Actual history. Real world events.
Tragedy here. Guys, come here. I pour him a cap of tequila and hand it over to him.
And he takes and drinks it without really thinking, then sort of looks around to see if any of the other soldiers on the deck are looking. And there was a couple that were, but as soon as he catches their eye, they look away and sort of like look up and down at their feet. And one of them just says, I needed to do a thing, and walks away really quickly just to nowhere. I'll get this to the boys in the lab. You said you had a file as well. If you could, ping that over somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
If you talk to the guy in the hangar controls, he can probably pass it on. I don't know.
Cool. We'll do that.
All right. Thanks for the news on Korchev.
No worries, mate. Look, if you ever need a fight, because it looks like you bloody well need one, you know where the Rose is. She points to the ship. There's always a good fight on that hunk of shit. But it's my...
Do you want to put your ship up against my ship? Because my ship will win. It's very big.
No, not fighting each other, like fighting together. Against a common enemy.
Again, my ship is very... I don't really see what you'd be bringing to the fight.
I have a sword. I know you like swords. And also, I and throw things with my mind. Oh, and recently I learned that I can fly.
And his eyes widen a little bit at that. That sounds fun. Anyway, I gotta go. Dear man, about a thing. It's been fun. Right. And he just sort of stands up and walks away.
Jeez. Yeah. Is it me, or did he seem like he was on the verge of crying the whole time?
God, that...
Yeah, that was super weird. Like, I mean, I guess never meet your heroes. I mean, I remember, like, when I was in school, we had to listen to, like, a long-form podcast about everything that happened, and then he seemed completely different in that. Different voice and everything.
Goodness, this was, like, forced learning upon you. Sounds dreadful.
I mean, that is cool.
He also said more words than Pax did across the entire Series 1.
And none of them were murderous.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get over the last 50 years, since officially finishing his vengeance quest, he's calmed down a little bit. Basically, you got the impression that he's a little bit uncomfortable in command and doesn't quite care about it, but also knows that that's his job.
You've been neutered.
Like most managers.
Not with the whole swords of gravestones thing. Like, I know I'm not the most well-adjusted person, but that's weird, right?
It's a tad weird. But to be honest, a lot of the customs I've seen of you folk have been a bit odd to me.
What do you mean, you folk?
You folk, you know. You, him, Bax.
What do you mean, you folk, you folk?
He's a Promethean. Like, we're different. I'm a human.
What? Oh.
Yeah, he's like a completely different species. Wow. Dumas, God, just... I know you're new to all this, but...
It's like saying to you that you folk, as in to you and Rebook.
I appreciate being referred to as a folk. I've been called much worse.
Well, I mean, I actually just meant you folk, as in... I wasn't singling you out. I mean, that's against...
Wow, seeing a whole different side to you, Dumas. Just, well...
What? You folk? You?
Wow, just... Pax? Don't say it again. God.
You do know that I'm blue.
Of course I do. I'm not blind.
All right, so de rigueur, aren't colorblind then. I just want to double check. I've never met a you
folk. No. I'm literally saying you folk as in anyone who's not me folk.
Oh, so it's just xenophobia. Okay, cool.
It's less phobia and more xeno awareness, I would argue, but
dwarves definitely don't have a xeno awareness day.
Xeno history.
Unless it's like be afraid of them.
Fear the xeno.
I can't quite put my finger on the exact reason why. But I definitely feel that for some reason, this should probably get a call.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it feels uncomfortable.
I'm not pinpointing the exact moment it turned, but it definitely did.
I think like it was fine up until a moment, and I'm not quite sure which moment that was. Tom, you're going to have to eyeball that one.
I've done it several times and identify exactly when the moment is.
Earball it.
I think just go back before you folk and Aaron picking up on you folk and then we'll be fine.
Back to the mental health problems of Pax.
Yeah, that's fine.
So yeah, that was kind of weird. I mean...
Yeah, poor guy.
I mean, I had a poster of that guy, like...
Well, like a nude one or something?
Poster, but...
No.
I have heard that military pensions aren't the best.
Yeah. Again, bold of you to assume we get pensions.